Hey, everybody. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. We're going to be breaking down how ghosts trump gaming and magic. Let's do this.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody. Look at that. A little jaunty little jingle for us here. Welcome, everybody, to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. This is the show where we break down the weekly box office and provide insight for future weekends to come. We've got the full panel united once again. Thanks so much for all the positive feedback on the first show. Panelists, once again, to do this all over again. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
Hi, guys. My name is Quinn Skillion. You can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillion.
Hey guys, how's it going? You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And I'm DJ Richie Sky. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky. And can I just say that this music makes me want a limbo? Like, does it not? Like, a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How low can you go, DJ Richie Sky?
Yeah.
How
low can you go? Oh, see, there you go.
Yes. I need this. You gotta get my energy up. Me and DJ Richie had a long weekend.
Oh man.
Happy Pride! Woo!
So folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, follow us there on Twitter, on all our handles there, as well as Popcorn Talk, and join us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, follow us in the chat, feel free to send your suggestions about the show, about us, about the movies in general, about your thoughts about the box office. Were you surprised
about us?
About us, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, I thought we want your deep personal thoughts about all of us.
Yes. We want to know.
Yes.
Do you guys remember Honesty Box on Facebook?
I love it.
You love Honesty Box?
I do.
Ooh, man, I remember. It was a lot of shit talking back in high school.
I was going to say, I think that was on MySpace. They had one.
Was it MySpace?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was one on MySpace.
I love any opportunity.
MySpace had one.
There's definitely one on Facebook.
Who remembers that?
That was
only
brutal.
Only Tom sitting somewhere all alone. Now, of course, we took over the show last week, and so we took our first stabs at box office predictions. Mm-hmm. Steven was very hot about Warcraft. Dominating the box office there.
I have a lot to say about
although we
that.
Rated it very much, very low, we had a little surprise. It did surprisingly better than we thought we did. But starting off as number one this week, The Conjuring.
Not surprised.
The Conjuring which we 2 predicted.
Knew it.
Came in strong there from Warner Brothers, making a little over $40 million. So, not surprising. I think we all kind of ranked it. That we thought that was going to be our number one pick.
Yeah, I could have sworn I said 43, but I'm not sure if I remember that or not. But still, it was close.
Yeah, horror movies often do really well because who doesn't like a good scare? And the first one did really well, so obviously the fans would come back. Or they're advertising. I don't know. Did you guys see a lot of their billboards or commercials?
Didn't see a lot of billboards, but I did see like trailers, like
also
mysterious
trailers. For it? Okay.
Trailers
just for
it.
Comparison, Conjuring 1 did $41 million. Its opening.
So not the same.
So right on target. I guess that's pretty good for a sequel.
And on Rotten Tomatoes, like they have their 20 best reviewed movies or worse, depending on how you look at it, it's got a number 9 at 75%. So
that's 75% for critics, but 89% for audience.
So that's like that's awesome.
So people are digging this movie.
Yeah.
No, and what's great is I think like for a lot of horror movies, you can make a lot of box office that opening weekend, and then I feel like the second and subsequent weekends all depend on how good the movie is. If it's got legs and it's really well received by the fans,
I feel like this is going to have legs.
It'll be a word of mouth.
That's
be like,
what I was
it
thinking.
Was good.
Yeah.
His friends will be like, "Hey, was it scary?
Yep.
Was it good?" And then that will, like, ripple effect out.
Especially because we're going to get to this later, but we've got Dory coming out next weekend. So it's going to be like, the kids are going to go see this. And then the only, you know, the adults are going to be flocking back to the horror.
Yeah.
The horror.
I know that's what I'm going to go see.
Yeah.
A feeling that came in strong. But now let's talk about Warcraft. It's surprisingly better than we thought. I think we all, as we did our predictions, we were all kind
did
of thinking
it.
4
but
or 5.
But everything online,
better,
but their number is really low.
Yeah.
It didn't even break 25.
No, it came in at 24, just a hair over 24 million from Universal there. So, I mean, not the strongest outing, but certainly it was good enough to get it to number 2.
Yeah,
much better than we thought it was going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, it's almost rated it one of the worst summer movies. They gave
ouch.
It, it's a score, it's a 27%.
Terrible.
And they came in at number 19
although,
out of 20.
Although, audience review is 83%.
That's so weird.
Yeah, doing more on the audience. Or
I mean, that's a really big difference.
So then could this have legs? Like, could it have legs next week?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's mixed. I mean, I know I've talked to people that are big Warcraft gamers, and they thought they had their issues with the movie, and then people that didn't know anything about the franchise at
all,
and did enjoy the movie for what it was.
What were their critiques about it?
In terms of some of the what they were using in the movie, adaptations of characters from the game into the film.
Yeah. So, like, I think it's difficult to go from a what starts as a game to a movie unless you have it synced in the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, most games to movies
it's just kind of weird sometimes.
The fans of the video game are often disappointed. Like, Hitman did not do really well. But if you never play the game, it's kind of cool. But if you know anything about the game, no. Tomb Raider was pretty well received, at least the first one, enough that they made a sequel.
Yeah,
and there's definitely
some
other ones.
Well, that could be a credit to Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that too. Here's my question,
the right person to do it. Yeah. I saw a rumor that Lionsgate, depending on how this movie does, is prepared to make 7 more Warcraft movies.
Okay, so
is there enough material for something?
Okay,
I mean,
so
I don't know.
This is interesting because the critics said Warcraft has visual thrills to spare, but they and director Duncan Jones' distinctive gifts are wasted on a sluggish and derivative adaptation of a best-selling game with little cinematic
value.
Then
how did this thing killed in China? How did it do so well?
We would have to ask someone in China.
That's what I mean.
I mean, it's a fantasy movie, and it's foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fantasy movies, like, if they're not making that many fantasy films over there, it could be a refreshing new thing.
Or that could be the thing that they're really most interested in.
Yeah. True, but I mean, depending. Ooh, I mean, this movie did that well that we might see more of these coming out. I mean, just in terms of box office revenue.
Fun fact about China and things, places like that: the online currency sales from World of Warcraft is one of a very high desired job. So people's jobs over there are actually to play World of Warcraft nonstop to make gold to sell online. So there's a huge user base for World of Warcraft in China.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure it's as big anymore, but just from people playing it, a lot of their percentage of user base was over there. So I believe a lot of people are big fans of the franchise and will go see them.
Right. Or like nostalgia.
Thank you for confirming that, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, well, if there's a lot of people who play, that would be the draw of them to go see it a lot over there. And I mean, here, yes, there's lots of people who play it, but
there's just so many
maybe
people
we've just
China.
Become so jaded and disappointed here in the States.
Why
of like, oh, you fail so much on our movies. What?
Why do you think that is, though?
Because there's been too many films of adaptations from games to movies that are not good.
Mm.
So as an audience that's used to that, like, subpar remake, you can be a bit more, a lot more hesitation.
Gotcha.
Just going, I don't know if I'm going to go to that movie right away because so many of the ones in the past are not as good.
Well, I think it's a challenge, too, with the billboards and the posters. If it was just, like, profile pieces of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're into Warcraft, that's enough to just get you psyched for the game. But if you're not looking at those posters, at least for me, it was like, it didn't suck me into wanting to see the movie.
I feel like their promotion could have been more like an introduction to the world. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many times when you're sitting online and, like, some kind of, like, you know, bit of, like, I feel like I keep seeing, Zac Efron and Adam Devine from this, like, wedding date movie thing.
Yeah.
Like, they keep introducing all those characters to us. I mean, like, I know that's, like, a really watered down version of what we're talking about, but, like, something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to kind of, like, get us, you know, a little bit more like, what's going on? Because I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know anything about Warcraft. There was nothing about the promotion for this film that made me want to go see it. And I like sci-fi and fantasy.
I was kind of surprised, though, that you wouldn't also get a lot of Vikings fans because it has Ragnar Lothbrok in it as one of the main humans. And I was like, I didn't even actually recognize him, though, until I go, oh, wait, that's the guy from, it's the guy from Vikings. Oh, my goodness. Because at first you see the poster and you go, oh, that's the guy. So I would think there'd be a lot more fans from Vikings because that has a big audience and they're on season 4, you know. So I don't, guess those fans didn't pull them out either.
I feel like it's interesting when you have like, when you have a different
kind of show though, I mean.
Yeah, but when you have like a big actor coming from a huge movie career who's headlining a TV series, that definitely gets people pulled in.
Yeah.
I wonder kind of like what that's like on the reverse side. You know what I mean? It'd be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think when it comes to the next film, it seems like it's going to do one enough to at least maybe garner one sequel. And it's always, I think, that make or break for something like this. You can kind of refine what kind of went wrong and course correct for a sequel, and then all of a sudden kind of revitalize the series. I mean, if you look at the Fast and Furious franchise, I mean, they kind of course corrected it after the second film and third Tokyo Drift to kind of go back to even to the fourth
film. I love
film.
The first two Fast and Furious movies.
I was going to say, I've seen like all of them.
I've seen them all, but I would certainly feel like the third kind of went off the rail, kind of went a little different, and they course corrected with the fourth, and then just from the fifth on, just revitalized that whole series to what it is now.
Absolutely.
So it could go that direction, or they could do another one and realize like, we are not going in the right direction, and that
But the thing is, Fast and Furious doesn't have any other source material. It's like only the movies, whereas you know, we have so many things that are being based off of, like, you know, games and books and, you know, stuff like that. I think that makes it really, really difficult because it's just like you have a template and you kind of have to stick to it, or, you know, or you don't. And then you're going to piss people off either way.
Fast and Furious, people are still invested in those characters. You know, there's movie after movie. Yep. We're following the story of these characters and how it evolves. So we're invested now.
Coming in at number three, we have Now You See Me 2 from Lionsgate. They're coming in at a little over $22 million. Get number three there at the box office. So,
well, the first one had 29, so down to 22 is not horrible.
That's
for
not
a
bad.
Sequel.
That's
and they had a lot more bigger actors, I feel, in this round. But
hey, bringing Daniel Radcliffe, that's always supposed to be a good one to bring in.
They had a good cast the first one too. It's like we all said last time. Yeah. It's a very entertaining film.
Is it any like serious Ocean's 11 vibes?
Yeah. Well, the
not
way they
quite.
Kind of marketed it.
The way they market it feels like a bunch of these people who are really talented who are getting together to like pull off some kind of heist.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
the theme
heist
is still
movie,
the same.
With magic.
With magic.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to say that I called the Price is Right number closest guess. By the way, I'm slightly proud on that one.
Yes. All right. She takes the coveted week one crown.
No, just for that one. Yes. Our top five, no, still need to practice on that.
Now, when you see with the sequel, they put in Lily Kaplan, they put Daniel Radcliffe in there. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the additions to those is like, did that make it more enticing, do you think, for people to want to go see that film?
If only because on the billboard, they put everybody's face. So it made it much
easier.
And
that's the other Ocean's 11 type of marketing tactic that she was kind of referencing that I think makes sense now. You know what I mean?
We to got
put them
famous people.
Right out there.
Yeah.
Draw those people in and, you know, hopefully get a new audience as well.
Because the first one, and then some of their billboards are more just like their silhouettes, so it's not so descriptive of who it is. But main billboard that was over most of Los Angeles had all their faces. So
although
it was
I
much
had a comment
easier to relate to
in the YouTube from last week that said that those posters weren't all over the U.S. So maybe that's just like a big city kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. Someone commented that last week.
Could be a different kind of billboard. Yeah, it's true. Billboards could be advertising differently in different cities, different regions, and that's where you do your market research and check to see what works and what gets people's attention.
What do people in LA want? Famous people. Just show them famous people, and they will.
Exactly.
That's how you get Angelinos in seats.
Yep.
Now, our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they held strong there. They came in at number four. Right there, with a little over $14 million there at the box office from Paramount. So, held tight. They beat the X-Men once again.
Yeah.
So, surprisingly, I mean, it's down. It's down. Let's see. It came down.
59%.
Yeah, 59%. So, I mean, a little bit more than half.
Not too bad. And, again, it's probably still one of the few family films out there. And so, you know, if you didn't see it last weekend, that's the one you take the kids and
until
the young
week.
Ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up soon.
Week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly, we do have Dory coming in. Do you think Dory is going to be enough with all the other competition to knock that out of the top five?
Well, Dory is going to be like, you know, we still have like a tween audience. But I don't want to go see a little kid movie.
I think they're going to go see it. I do.
I mean, just so we can remember, Finding Nemo did like $70 million.
Exactly. That's what I'm like. I think they're going to go see it.
So, I mean, I do. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying. I did
I
my top
I think it's
going to
crush everything else.
I don't have Ninja Turtles in my top five for next
As we're talking about tweens, you have to mention that those are probably people that saw when they were kids. They've been rewatching it constantly. So when
Finding Nemo.
And people know those characters, you know. They know there's a nostalgia factor that goes along with just the Finding Nemo experience in general.
Pixar has had such an insane year as it
is.
I mean, like Inside Out was Inside Out this year or last year now?
Last year.
Whatever. I love that movie, and I keep crying and watching it for like I keep watching it and just bawling my eyes out. So
funny random thing with Dory and Nemo at Long Beach Aquarium. They actually have like a tank where they're both. There's fish that look.
I've seen it.
And they actually have like a little thing of like, it's Nemo and Dory. And everyone who walks by is like, it's Nemo and Dory. Like, it's imprinted enough in people's mind that, so people know those characters that is going to be a huge draw for them.
Mm-hmm.
Rounding out the top five, we've got X-Men Apocalypse coming in from Fox with just under $10 million, down a little over about 56% from last week.
Still in the top five, though.
Still hanging on.
It's in its third week now?
It's third week, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Hmm.
I mean, superhero movies don't have a lot of draw.
Like, don't you just feel like there's a lot of competition for this entire, like, all of these movies feel like they're pretty much in the same, like, a wheelhouse, like, a lot of them. Like, I feel like Warcraft, Ninja Turtles, I mean, I know that, you know, talk about age or whatever, but I just feel like a lot of these are competing with each other. Yeah. And that's probably...
Sure. It's a similar either action, kind of adrenaline
Yeah.
Not quite regular reality.
It's almost kind of like they could be in a little bit interchangeable, though. Like, just take your pick and go see an action movie. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's no, I don't feel like there's one standout, like, action movie out, like, right now that's, like, you know, just gonna kill it.
Yeah,
you
got
everybody.
These, and then, like, or we can just go see The Lobster at, like, the independent
movie. Yeah, I mean,
you wanna know what's really sad, though, guys? When Days of Future Past came out, its weekend, 3-day weekend, was $110 million. And it stayed in the top five for 4 weeks, and it was still at $15 million in its last week in the top five. It only dropped below $10 million in its sixth week. So this is,
they got that money.
But after three weeks, this is already below $10 million. That's not
But wouldn't Days of Future Past be like, that was the first reboot, and so that had the, oh my goodness, we haven't
this
had
This is the second
X-Men?
One.
That, second, yeah. Okay.
So it was First Class, then Days of Future Past, and now this
well, First
is the
Class
trilogy.
Did so well, so, and people really liked it.
No, again, revitalized the franchise there at that point.
Good point.
Yeah, but again, I'm saying, like, Warcraft probably would have done above 30 if The Conjuring 2 hadn't come out this weekend. You know what
Possibly,
I mean?
Possibly. Yeah.
But also, I just don't think a lot of people were going to the movie. I mean, like, people still go to the movies, but, you know, whenever we have a national tragedy, people usually stay away. So that's also something to take for
granted. That's true, too.
Not to, you know, dull down the fight, but.
I mean, but that could be a factor. I mean, we got to talk about
that. Could be something
that,
with our
you know
weekend.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Well, certainly looking at, as Steven was talking about with X-Men Days of Future Past, if you're just even compared to something recent, Captain America Civil War, I mean, by this point, it was doing so much more better even in its third week. It easily broke over $100 million in its initial release.
Yeah.
So so when you see this in its third week, just a little over $100 million, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you watch the two movies, you can definitely understand why that is.
We had an interview with the editor and composer of Days of Future Past that you can check out on the channel, John Ottman. And he said that they were rushed by about 2 or 3 months on this X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
As well as when they were handed the script for editing, the whole third act was basically bullet points.
Are you serious?
No.
So, yeah, you can go watch the interview. Yeah. It's really interesting because they were put on such a time crunch for Apocalypse, and it really kind of shows, unfortunately.
Why?
Critics got it at
48%. I wonder why that happened that way, though, because with a movie like that, you can't rush that.
Yeah, don't rush.
You can't rush a process like that. You have to end the movie right.
They wanted it to be this specific weekend, this summer release, this kind of thing. I don't know. But although I think I even read that, like, the summer 2016 is definitely doing way worse than summer 2015 so far, ever since, like, Civil War came out, I guess.
Well, it's interesting when you look at Marvel or you look at Warner's, where they're already, I mean, announcing so far ahead these projected dates for all the releases for all the superhero franchise films. I mean, when they're already projecting in, you know, the 2020, 2021 for releases then, it's like, boy, I mean, you're planning that far out for things. You've got to hope everything that you're doing currently is going to be able to be successful enough that you can keep successfully building.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like with Marvel, they've mastered it, though. You know what I'm saying? As far as some of the other franchises, I don't think that they've done that. I don't think that they started with a specific plan in place. No. I think they're just kind of making it up as they go. And then you have incidents like that happen, and it's like, okay, we got to rush the end of the movie.
Well, if you look at Fox, I mean, they already kind of backpedaled. I mean, they wanted to do a Fantastic Four sequel.
Exactly.
But that performed well, so they had to kind of change directions on that.
Yeah, that one was nuts. I'm like, Fantastic Four.
Frustrating.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the challenge of calling your shot so far ahead. Like, the first film does not do well. You're like, oh, all right, we got to just kind of softly backpedal.
And even the remake of it, which I would call it a remake because it's not a sequel. The other one.
Ish.
But no, they did Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, and then. So they've had three Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Three chances to get it right and still
not so much. Not so much.
Because I just feel like I love superhero movies.
I do too.
I'm starting to hate them a little bit also. It's just.
Do you think it's overload at this point?
Yeah. It's hard to get so excited anymore. It doesn't feel special like it used to, and now it just feels like, I don't know. I guess at this point, I'm starting to get, even though I loved, you know, I loved the first Spider-Man, like, I used to really, really, really get excited, And now I feel like I'm starting to get more excited about anything that's an original, that's not that doesn't have source material.
There's
to
kind
it.
Of an oversaturation of it, sure.
But I think like any genre, there's going to be certain films that, and franchises that are just going to rise, and they just have a standard of quality and success about them.
Yeah,
they get you excited. I mean, if you compare like Need for Speed compared to like Fast and Furious, you're going to get excited when you hear about a Fast and Furious film. But Need for Speed 2, if they can't announce that, you're like, ooh, I don't know.
I don't know. Like I'm a comic nerd, so I just get into all of them. And so
I only read like a couple, so I don't have the nostalgic. Yeah. I don't have that connection to them, like you know, so many people do. And I know that they do. I mean, obviously they do because they kill at the box office. They do so well. But at the same time, it's just like, are we sacrificing something?
Quality?
Yeah, are we sacrificing quality?
I would say in some instances we are, but, you know, I think, again, I mean, I as a fan, I still have to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to see how bad it is. I you know, if it's good or bad, I have to see it.
Yeah,
but I think Marvel's been successful in the sense where it's not just superhero spectacle. They've also, building up these films that they've done, these franchises, they're able to play off a lot of character moments as well. And so you're getting that action.
You have great actors, great characters, and a great story that's, like, continuous. Like, with Marvel, there's a continuous... They're leading someplace.
And it's world-building. Exactly. It's like, it's fantastic. You know what I mean?
Now, did Guardians of the Galaxy stand out for you? Because that was kind of a different superhero one than the regular batch of them.
I loved Guardians. Absolutely loved Guardians.
It's one of those things.
I also loved Deadpool. You know, there's a couple of them that feel like...
Because they changed it
up. A different personality to it a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see what lays ahead for our superhero franchises. But as we turn our focus over to international numbers, Warcraft, as we've already been talking about last week, dominating the Chinese market. Now, it has currently made a cumulative $261.7 million overseas in its third week, while having its first opening weekend in China opening to $156 million, counting for 5 days, not just two. So,
overseas does really well.
Yeah, just dominating.
There are certain films, though, that just seem to do really... We talked about that last week, of either movies or musical artists sometimes can do really well abroad for kind of some unknown reason
and not as well
in their home base. Yeah.
And it's also, like, I think, like, particularly, like, Chinese and Japanese fans are so passionate. You know what I mean? Like, that's why people can go over and make a killing doing, you know... appearances or whatever, because it's just like such a passionate fan base. So I'm not surprised that Warcraft is dominated at all.
Well, I feel like anything like gaming related or action or horror, I think those are easily translatable concepts that you can take over internationally.
I would disagree a little bit with horror, if only because certain legends pertain only to a specific group. That's why some like Japanese horror don't do as well over here, because we don't have that built-in knowledge of that mythology, you know, and that story. Some of them do really well and they're great, yes, but some of them you'll just be like, I don't get why this is a thing, why are they scared of that, because for them it's a built-in, they know it. It's like we know our own urban legend, so if you took it somewhere else, sometimes they don't quite translate.
True, but there was a time period in like where that's what we were getting, like the Rings, you know what I'm saying?
What,
like,
was the one with the girl, the head in the shower?
That one's a Grudge.
Yes. The Grudge,
wasn't
that?
They had the Ring, the Grudge.
It was something
and they did sequels of those a lot.
Yeah,
so, and those were
One
pretty,
Miss Call was the other one.
And One Miss Call, okay. There was another photo, I'm totally blanking on the name now. There's like a photography one. There's just a whole slew of them that all were similar kind of thing, but there were definitely aspects of them that if you didn't know about the culture, you'd just be like, I don't get it.
Just doesn't.
But then you learn
translate.
Like, oh, that's a thing that they all know, and you go, oh, okay, then that's why. But they were like pretty much remakes, though. I would say the Japanese Ring is much better, though the effects aren't as good. The story's just better.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ringu and Grudge would be Juyon, and like that one had a manga series, so there's a lot of.
Not for me,
stuff.
Man. Not for me. I like to sleep at night, so I have to not see those. You know, what I
mean? Like a good horror movie though. Like, so I have to see. Like, I can the watch Conjuring them
just in the middle of the day when it's sunlight outside. Like, I have to have like the windows open and like. Then
you're totally taking away from the horror experience.
I am doing the best I can. Oh my gosh, I am such a wuss, and I do want to see these movies because I'm like curious. You know what I mean? Like The Conjuring. Like, I want to see what everyone's talking about, but like if I watch that shit at night, like I'm gonna be laying in bed like.
Should I check Twitter again?
Or? You should go see it. Definitely go see it.
It's the sensation you get to live through a trauma, but you survive, and that's the rush that you get from a horror film. Yeah. And that's why people like it, because you get that adrenaline of like, oh my gosh, human eyes, but you survive. So you get that kind of euphoria.
And it's
kind of
removed because you're like, you know you're watching it, but like you almost still feel kind of in it.
I mean, that's why we like roller coasters too. Because it's kind of like
that's why people like it.
It's like,
and
fake
you can be
danger.
All judgmental, like, I wouldn't have gone through that door. Exactly. I would have been smarter. I would have gone out the window.
Yes.
See, I think that's why I like the suspense thrillers a little bit more, like the psychological thrillers.
Which I don't think we've had a lot of those come out in the past year or two. I don't think.
Not a lot of good psychological.
I don't know.
Thrillers.
Nothing.
Let's
really
clarify.
Nothing really coming to mind. Because I just watched the Talented Mr. Ripley this weekend, just like for some 90s, reason, because it's on like HBO Go or something.
2000? Yeah.
And I was just like watching this. I was like, I don't feel like I've really seen like a movie like this in a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Now, I was talking about horror. The Conjuring 2 did well internationally because it made $50 million overseas from 44 markets and set records for the largest horror box office in 26 of those markets.
Nice.
So I feel like while we may not like all the it coming over from overseas to domestically, it seems like perhaps overseas they do enjoy our domestic horror films. Is that, who knows if they still have that kind of thing that you may struggle with, like if we don't buy into their urban legends, it's tough for us to watch their films. Do they have that same thought? Like, oh, I don't understand these American customs. It's so tough for me to buy.
I don't know.
But the American ghost story is a little more common, I would say, compared to I'd say it's a little more wide. Yeah. It's not quite so elaborate. Some of them, yes, there's some basic tropes that are in most American horror mythology.
I feel like the first season of American Horror Story is like American horror tropes.
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, I didn't see Conjuring 2, so I can't say, but it's... Yeah, we'll see.
I think the scares in these movies are such that it doesn't matter what language you speak, you're gonna get it. You know what I mean?
Like, there you go. That's
they're
a good,
universal.
That's a staple of a
you know
good
I mean?
Film. Is if
exactly.
you don't know the language,
the first
you can
one
still
like
get
a
it.
Scary little kid,
amazing.
Like the orphaned. You know what I mean? Or
exactly.
orphan or whatever. It's like we like, oh, that's terrifying. We don't like to see kids being
exactly
by
exactly.
Things.
So
and there's the orphanage.
The Orphanage.
That was Spanish with Del Toro.
No, I'm thinking of a different one. Anyway.
So that brings us over to our international news. Now, of course, we have a couple of films coming out this weekend. We have Central Intelligence starring The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, as well as Kevin Hart, and Finding Dory, as we talked a little bit briefly from Pixar Films. So as we do our top five related films to this theme, we're going to go with the top five Kevin Hart box office movies. Look at that. Now I will be honest, just going forward, saying first that I have not seen any of these Kevin Hart movies. I'm not a huge Kevin Hart fan, so I have not watched any of these films.
I'm gonna sadly have to agree with you on that one too. I'm like, nope.
You know it's gonna be sad when I agree as well that I have not seen half of these movies. That's mostly because I kind of feel like, and I just have to be brutally honest, that I feel like sometimes we find something that works and we just keep doing it and we keep manufacturing it and it just loses its potential. Now, they still make a lot of money because there are audiences that just want to see Kevin Hart be funny. And we like that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, how many times are you going to make the same movie?
Like, it's always just like a picture where it's like little Kevin Hart and then like a bigger guy next to him. And Kevin Hart's like, I'm in trouble.
You know, it's kind of that whole like slapstick era that we don't necessarily get anymore. At the same time, it's kind of like, I want to see you do something different because I know you can.
But can I just say that how much I love The Rock and like I will pretty like I honestly like I was just watching the trailer for this movie and like I was too. I was like laughing in spite of myself. I was like, actually, that looks.
The problem is because I did watch it again today. Like I said, I'm gonna go see this movie.
Yeah, I know. Like I don't know. The Rock is so charming. I follow him on Instagram. I love him.
So as we talk about our top five Kevin Hart films, before we get into the Central Intelligence, there our number five. Or actually, coming in at number one, Ride Along 2 from Universal, a little over $90 million.
That was an Ice Cube, too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big draw as well. Because he's a name enough that people want to watch him. And then that's the straight character versus the comedic one. You know, it's the comedy together is what makes it funny, is you got the character who's like so serious, and then the other character's so wacky, and it just makes them even better together.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, even like the poster for that movie was Kevin Hart was like, what did I get myself into?
Get Hard with Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. They're from Warner Brothers. Just a little under what Ride Along 2 did. It did $90.4 million.
I need a good movie from Will Ferrell, like, ASAP.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Will Ferrell on Cornrows.
I haven't seen... Though. I feel like I haven't, like, fallen in love with him in a long time.
Mm. Yeah, Get Hard was not the film to do that
Nope.
with. No, not at all. Then we had Kevin Hart at The Wedding Ringer. $64.4 million from
Screen Gems. I must say, when I saw that trailer, I'm like, no. The concept for Wedding Ringer is, like...
Is it like Hitch? Like kind of the same thing where it's like a guy who gets paid to put people together or something?
Which was a good movie, though.
That one's a better idea. And yes, I liked Hitch. No, that Wedding Ringer is you have no friends. You're going to hire somebody to like get your friends or something. It just looked dumb.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Moving on.
I'm sorry. I'm just like,
Carrie says it was, she stamped it dumb and we're moving on.
I said it looked. I don't know if it was because I didn't watch it.
Coming at 4 is Top 5 from Paramount. $25.3 million.
I didn't like it as much. Much as I wanted to like it.
Yeah.
That's the one with Chris Rock. Who is in that?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. How much do these stand out that like you guys remember what these films are all about? No. Like, that's a sign, too, that it's like, wait, what's that one?
Yeah.
What's that?
And then rounding out the list, we have Think Like a Man 2.
Actually, like
Screen
Gems. I like that one.
I did look at the. By the way, you guys, I did look up the ratings for these movies because I was just like curious. And the critic average was 36.2, and only that good because Top 5 had an 86%. So.
So just real quick for me, because I know I read this list, I was like, man, I have not seen any of these Kevin Hart films. So I went through and just quickly did a list of top 5 films that I enjoyed that Kevin Hart was in.
That was
so polite of you.
I was like, all right, I'll just do this.
Okay.
So coming in at number one, which my favorite would have been The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes.
Where you played the smart tech customer.
Oh my God.
That excellent film. I don't remember in that movie. But...
There you go. $109 million from Universal, so it did really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I come in at number two for my list would be This is the End, where he played himself briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I see that one.
Yeah, there you
go. Oh, that's a fun one.
Oh, wait. No, yes. Okay. He was funny in that.
Yes.
That movie, I was saying.
Everybody's buying
it. Isn't Rihanna in that?
They had a lot of cameos.
Yeah, Rihanna was in it.
She was in
it. Emma Watson was in it.
Yeah.
Then coming in number three, The 5-Year Engagement, where he played Doug. Yeah, I honestly don't remember that movie.
The 5-Year Engagement? Is that the musical? That,
what?
That was with Jason Segel and Emily Blunt.
They shot that in Ann Arbor.
Emily Blunt was in that?
I feel like a jerk for not remembering.
I think it's
Emily Blunt. Yes, and Jason Segel.
Yes. Love.
It was an all right movie. It was all right.
Okay.
And when the movie did feel like it went 5 years. That
Is that because it was directed by Judd Apatow? Isn't everything that Judd Apatow makes like at least 30 minutes too long or something like that?
Then number four, Little Fockers, where he played Nurse Lewis.
That was a fun
movie. I saw the first two Focker films.
I didn't see
the third,
Little
right?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one either.
It was cute-ish.
Oh, wait. Is Meet the Fockers? I think. Or was that four?
I think that was three.
It was 15.
Yeah. All those Fockers. All those Fockers will be the next one. Yeah. I'm pitching that one out right now. All those Fockers, guys. And then Long Came Polly.
Okay, I did like that movie.
I love that movie.
I did like that.
That movie is amazing. For all of you who haven't seen it, you need to go get that movie now. Like, YouTube it.
I still like Kevin Hart's stand-up the best. Because it's just like, there's something about it that it's like, kind of dark. But it's really, really, really good.
He's really, really short. I just had to say that. Like, he is like... extremely short, like just really, really short, which makes him extra funny to me.
Oh yeah,
extremely funny.
Sorry. I like that he has a fitness promote, like inspirational video that was going around Facebook for a while. That was kind of fun to watch of him talking about wanting to be in the best shape of his life because his body is like his instrument and everything like that. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, that was the first time I really was like, okay, you're really cool. Like just the way he spoke in the video and just the exercise, and it just. Was him not being goofy, mm-hmm. So it was nice to see a different side of him being a little more serious.
Sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I like Shia LaBeouf's Just Do It.
Chat roll saying Elf.
Oh, Elf. Yeah, he's an Elf.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. That I love that movie.
Will
he
Ferrell.
Works.
That's killing
true.
It.
That's true. I guess, you're right.
I love Smiling. Smiling's my favorite.
I probably would have ranked Elf probably at number two. That would have probably gone right there solidly under 40-Year-Old Virgin. Now, as we're coming to upcoming films, as I mentioned, Central Intelligence. We've been talking about Kevin Hart. We've been mentioning briefly Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's also Finding Nemo's sequel, Finding Dory, coming out this weekend. So we're going to do a couple of predictions where we think the top five are going to be. So a few notes before we get into that is the last Kevin Hart comedy film wide release was Ride Along 2 with Ice Cube, which had a two-day opening weekend of $36 million, as well as a total three-day holiday weekend opening of $41 million. So just something to note as we go into predictions. And the Finding Nemo movie opened to $70.2 million in its opening weekend before dropping to $46 million in its second weekend, remained in the top five for seven consecutive weeks. So now with those facts in mind, we're going to get into what we think our top five are going to be. So we've got those two films, as well as we've got The Conjuring, Warcraft, Now You See Me 2, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, and X-Men Apocalypse, all rolling around in here. You know, DJ Richie Sky, you're looking at me like,
someone's not
going to
make it this week.
Okay.
So let me just tell you mine.
All right.
It's obviously going to be Finding Dory first.
Mm-hmm.
Have to say it. I think Central Intelligence is going to come in next. Then I think it's going to be The Conjuring. I think it's going to be just like our list right now. And then Warcraft, and then Now You See Me. I just think that these two movies are going to bump everything down. And then that's going to be our list. And I don't think we're going to see any more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or X-Men Apocalypse in the top five. I just don't.
I agree and disagree. Similar and different. I'm going to go with Central Intelligence will be number one.
What?
Ooh. I know Dory probably what? Will, but I'm going to throw a curveball out there just to see.
All right.
Fine.
I'm tell you
it's
right
like
now,
you just want to be wrong.
Fine.
Then
it's
maybe
like
I
you just
want to
be wrong.
Because, yeah, okay, whatever.
Just fine. Kidding. My top five.
Just so we have the
it's
other right. option.
There
okay.
you
yeah.
Go.
Yes. Fine.
Yeah.
No, so the other one.
I love it. Devil's advocate, babe. Yes, playing devil's advocate on this one. So number one, I'll go with Central Intelligence. Number two is going to be Dory. Number three, I'll go with Conjuring. Number four, I'll go with the Now You See Me. And I'll go five with Warcraft.
Wow, you switched.
I know,
that
I was
going to
say,
lot.
I'm all similar and different. But, you know, sometimes you got to spice
okay.
it up and we'll see what happens.
I like it. Spice up your life.
Mm-hmm. All right, Quinn, what do you think?
I have number one, Finding Dory.
Yes.
Number two, The Conjuring 2.
Yep.
Number three, Critical Intelligence. Four, Now You See Me. Five, Warcraft.
Okay.
Ooh.
I know, it's crazy.
Another slightly different version.
I think we're the same, except that I flipped Critical Intelligence and Conjuring.
Yeah.
So but I don't know. You might be right. I don't know.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna go with Dory, then Central Intelligence, then Conjuring, then Now You See Me. I think that might hold out a little bit better than Warcraft.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're on that. So we just have the first two swaps.
I feel as though Warcraft is going to do something tricky. Like I feel like people are going to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to go see it. So.
We'll right, find out next week. Yeah.
All right,
well, you know what it is?
I was tricked, guys.
Despite the fact that we don't know much about it, we've talked about it a lot. So I feel like if people are talking about it, like, I need to see it. So obviously, you know, I think people are going to do the same thing.
We'll see.
All right, so now it's time for everybody's favorite segment here. Our second week strong here, The Price is Right. Well, we're going to pick one movie. Now, we all, pretty much other than, you know, King, think that Finding Nemo, Finding Dory is going to take the top spot. So we're going to challenge ourselves. We're going with Katie's first pick, Central Intelligence. What do we think that is going to do?
Oh, Central Intelligence?
Yes.
Because you're combining my first and middle initial.
Yes.
Saying Katie.
Katie Lane. Katie Lane.
Central Intelligence guess? Ooh.
Yes. I mean, you predict
your
number
true.
One.
That's true. My number's going to be higher than all
that's
your
true.
Numbers.
So you got to go really high.
Well, it's interesting because looking at this past week's box office, 40 for the number one, which we've seen higher on other films, so... I'm going to need a second. Since you guys are all enthused on Dory, I need a second.
All right, since Kara's thinking that it's going to be the number one film, so we'll give her a second to kind of go above our prices. All right, Quinn, what do you think?
Oh, no.
Yep, what do you think? There you go. Central Intelligence.
For Central Intelligence. Okay, let me see. Ride Along did 90.
What?
And I think that The Rock just has so much star power.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, but I don't think it's going to do twice of The Conjuring. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to do 80 million. Like, that's crazy.
Well, the opening weekend was,
okay. was
35.
Yeah, 36.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at the wrong number. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay.
The pressure's on.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. I was looking at Lifetime. I'm like, wait, no.
I know that seemed crazy, but then we were talking about how Finding Nemo had done so well. So I was like, oh, maybe. I mean, who am I to say how well I want to?
I don't know. I mean, it had 36 million, but it also came out in January, which is a little bit of a slower time, sort of, in the box office. So now that it's coming out, nice summer release. Do you think it's going to do better than 36?
I do. Yeah, I think it's going to do better than 36. Can I hear some other numbers first to kind of get me to gauge?
Oh, all right. There you go. I see. All right.
Is that all right? Yeah. I know that's a
go
lame thing to
okay.
say.
But all right. Then we got to go with Richie.
I'm going to say it's going to do 40.
You seem so confident. The way Richie's
That's been the number in my head since you first mentioned it. Okay. So I have to go with that number.
Okay.
It's like playing the lottery,
I think. Go with your gut. Go with your gut.
Yeah. I'll do your price.
Yeah, we should know. I think
right steal, and I'm going to say 42.
Ooh, whoa. So sneaky.
All right, Carrie.
Say 42.
All right. Okay, Quinn.
Okay, I'm going to say 41.
Oh, man. Okay.
I am such a piece of shit. I am well aware.
Really?
Ooh.
Oh, this is so much pressure. I'm sweating right now.
If you say 39, I'm jumping across the table.
I'll say 38. just avoid that jump across from Richie.
Okay. I just feel like I just need a little bit more practice with the numbers. I feel like in a couple weeks I'll get the hang of it.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be
on
fire.
But this is my
then.
First time ever having to do this, so I'm like,
you know what though? It's just an educated guess and a hope for what we think the movie will do. You know what I mean?
Crazy results from those numbers too, of unprecedented times where it's like everybody suddenly went to go see this movie, or it depends on what kind of advertising, grassroots, how much did that subliminally sit in your head when you saw that stupid Facebook banner or whatnot.
Honestly,
so
I've seen the preview for this movie like I think since before they even invented the concept. They've been playing the previews in the theaters that long.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I feel like I've seen this movie, but I'm gonna go see it again.
What gets you more excited about this movie, Kevin Hart or The Rock?
The Rock.
You know what it is? They have an interesting dynamic together.
Yeah, like, it's like the chemistry, the relationship between the
it
two.
Is. So ordinarily, I just might be kind of like, oh my God. Ooh. But it works.
Actually, now that you said it that way, so is this going to be kind of like The Rundown? Because that was a great comedy one.
I love that.
And that was The Rock. And
Sean
William Scott was the more the goofy one. The Rock was the serious one, which will probably be the same idea. So the question is, how similar is it going to be to that one? But I remember that one. I just saw that in theaters. Thought it was hilarious and just great action. So
yeah, I think
we'll see where they're going to go with this one.
I think people are going to want to laugh this weekend.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have to say that.
Yeah.
I think that people are going to want to feel good.
But that's why I'm saying Dory's going to
kill. Dory could do well, too.
I think that's going to be number one, but I think that, you know, there's going to be that second round that
Central Intelligence will, regardless, we all think it's going to do well.
Yeah.
That will be the secondary. Yeah, this is the other happier, because it's been like action comedy, and then we got Finding Dory, which is family and comedy and all the kind of stuff from the first one. So
wait, I mean, if you look at all the
advertising. I have to say something. I just realized that I put Critical Intelligence third, but I made it. I said it was going to make 41, whereas Conjuring made 40 in its first weekend. So there's no way that Conjuring is going to be number two.
Well,
with that logic, I just want you guys to know that I caught that. I'm not going to change a thing though.
No, we will not correct you that it's Central Intelligence.
Yeah, that's it.
We will not mention that.
Critical Intelligence.
Oh.
But that's because you were critically thinking.
Yes, you were like,
critically not thinking. It's okay.
Everybody's a critic.
But folks, that's going to bring us to an end for this show. Look at that. Time flies when you're predicting box office numbers, folks.
Yeah.
But folks, one more time, if you want to continue the conversation, you can like us on Facebook, follow us there, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to us on YouTube there. Feel free to leave your comments about the box office, about us, talk about Quinn. DJ Richie Sky, if they wanted to continue the conversation with you after the show, where can they find you?
You can tweet me at DJ Richie Sky, or hit me up on Instagram, stalk me, whatever you like.
And yes, I'm Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Quinskillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram. And add me on Snapchat at Quapchat.
Oh my gosh, those are great names. Look at that. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. We'll be here next week to see how we did.
Mm-hmm.
Find out how Critical Intelligence did.
That's right.
Critically good in the box office, guys. See you next time.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.